OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. Now is the time to stock up if you want the best selection of hard-to-find ammo. Friendly and knowledgeable customer service, quality and selection you can count on, and the ammo you need delivered fast right to your door. OnlineAmmo.com is the real deal. And my buddy Hank Hayes, the VP of OnlineAmmo.com and master of firearms training and self-protection, wants you to have the code ship free now on all orders over $200. OnlineAmmo.com is more than just an ammo retailer. They also have optics, accessories, and firearms for sale at OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. OnlineAmmo.com.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Yes, we are locked in. We are loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And I am your host, Royce Bartlett. And yes, I still reek of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and just a tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people, Hops Number 9. Got a great guest waiting in the wings, and we're going to bring him on in just a few minutes. You've heard him on the program before, but he's going to be bringing us some updates on what's going on with Florida and constitutional carry. First, I want to remind you, if you want to become a sponsor of the program, you can sponsor for as little as $5 a month. You get first access to all episodes of the program. Go to patreon.com/shootingstraightradio podcast. You can become a sponsor there, and I will certainly thank you for it. If you want to reach out to me through any medium, you can hit me up at royce@shootingstraightradio.com, or you can go to the Shooting Straight Radio podcast on Facebook and message me there. I answer everybody's queries, any questions. If you want to talk about a certain issue, I always respond. So hit me up there. I want to give you a little heads up before I bring the guest on. Georgia just became, or is about to become, I should say, the 25th constitutional carry state. I think it was earlier today or late yesterday that the Senate okayed constitutional carry there, and it is headed for Governor Kemp's desk there. And so we need to make that happen here. Now, one person, and I tell you what, this guy is a pit bull. He is the Florida director and Virgin Islands, and also, I believe, for Puerto Rico, the director for GOA. You've heard him on the program before. And I'm going to say when, not if, constitutional carry passes here in Florida. You are going to owe this man a huge debt of gratitude for that. And that would be none other than Mr. Luis Valdez. Luis, how are you, brother?
How you doing? It's good to be back on the air.
Yes, sir. Besides being exhausted, because I know you run your butt off all over the place, man, as much stuff as you got going on, I bet you're a little bit tired.
I sure am. It's been a busy week and a half to 2 weeks. Was up in Orlando at the Republican annual meeting. I got news to tell you on that, how that went out. We got word of a special session. So constitutional carry in Florida is not dead, as my good friend Jared from Guns and Gadgets said on his show, constitutional carry is back on the menu.
Well, good. It needs to be. I tell you what, it's very galling that our elected officials treat us with such contempt that they feel that we're not responsible enough to freely exercise our rights without their oversight and permission. But I won't go off on one of my tangents just yet. You and I were talking before the show here, and I just referenced it, how Georgia is headed to become the 25th constitutional carry state. And I'd like to all the legislature in Tallahassee to start paying attention to that. And give me your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, my thoughts on that are very simple. Now, Florida's contiguous borders are constitutional carry states. Both yep. Alabama and Georgia have not only constitutional carry, they have open carry.
Yes.
And Florida has neither.
Yep.
Yet we have a Republican legislature that constantly proclaims and crows that this is the freest state in the union, and we don't have that.
Yeah.
For shame.
Yeah, I don't think we've earned the name that we've been called often. That's the Gunshine State. I don't think we've earned that until we are actually able to freely exercise the rights we were born with without the state's permission. So that's my 2 cents on that. That's for sure.
So your 2 cents are my 2 cents. We definitely shouldn't be called the Gunshine State at this point. We should be called Disney World. And I don't know if you've heard with that, the governor wanting to revoke Disney World of its special privilege as the Reedy Creek Improvement District. But there's also word coming down the pike that Republican lawmakers are now refunding the campaign contributions that Disney made to them.
Really? Interesting. Yes. Little side note there.
Yes, yes. I saw a blurb of it this morning on the mainstream media, you know, the good old-fashioned mullet wrapper, but supposedly some of our Republican lawmakers are giving money back to Disney after Disney made campaign contributions to them, and possibly Representative Barnaby. He specifically introduced, I believe it was a pro-life bill when the leadership told him not to, specifically because Disney didn't want it done.
And who is Disney? And since when have they become such a political force that their opinions actually matter in our state legislature? I'm very happy that Governor DeSantis is saying, okay, you want to get into this game? Here you go. Here's how the game is played. And yeah. I'm happy to hear that those guys are sending money back to him and saying, screw you. You don't have that kind of clout here.
Yeah, well, for your listeners that don't know, Disney is actually its own government entity in Florida. In 1967, when Walt Disney himself was alive and kicking and was wanting to build Disney World, he learned some valuable lessons from California building Disneyland. And one of his goals was he wanted to have better economic control over the land. So he approached the legislature back then, and they basically made Disney a political subdivision of the state. It's known as the Reedy Creek Improvement District.
Yep.
On paper, they could tax themselves. They could create their own municipalities. They could create their own fire department. They could create their own police department. They could, they're pretty much a political subdivision, no different than a county or a city. In
yep.
Florida. And the governor is threatening to push legislation to revoke them of that special charter, which I think is actually a good thing because Disney is extremely anti-gun. And I can say this with personal experience. Back when I was a law enforcement officer, I visited now known as Disney Springs. Then it was Downtown Disney. The wife and I were there, and we were enjoying ice cream at Ghirardelli's, and like usual, like a responsible citizen, I'm carrying an off-duty firearm. And Disney Secret Security approached me with two uniformed deputies, and the deputies, you could tell that they were antsy, and Disney literally asked me in a very affirmative tone of, are you law enforcement? I was like, well, yes, I am. Why? Oh, well, we need to see your credentials immediately. I present my credentials. And the deputies inform me, hey, look, if you weren't a cop, we would have escorted you immediately off the grounds, but we're going to let you finish your ice cream and then you can go secure your piece. And then right then and there, my wife and I just basically looked at him and was like, you know what? We're taking our ice cream. We're leaving. Bye.
Good.
Now, here's the thing. Downtown Disney, Disney Springs area. Yeah, it's an outdoor public shopping area. It's no different than walking into any other outdoor shopping area, like, you know, walking to Dadeland Mall in South Florida, walking into, I'm just trying to think here, you know, all across the state, you know, how we have all these different outdoor shopping plazas, like right. Jacksonville and Orlando and Tampa, you name it.
Yeah, we got it's the no avenues here in Vieira near me, and it's a big shopping place. Yeah, I walk through there armed all the time.
Yeah, well, Disney, they use the excuse of the fact that they are a private entity and a quasi-government entity, and what do? They literally have checkpoints to screen everyone with a firearm.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't been to the Mouse House in a while. And you know, the whole concept to me doesn't make sense because in most states, people see a mouse, they kill it. Here in Florida, for some reason, we built it a stinking kingdom and charged people about $100 to go play with this stinking thing for a day. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The concept is ludicrous for me. But if you want to become your own government entity where you can basically tell me that I cannot be armed on your property, no problem. I won't be on your property anymore. I have no reason to be. That's how it is. Tell us about this Orlando. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The question that I always want to bring up on that is, if they're a government entity, are they using the color of law to abuse our civil rights? Because last I checked, the government can't bar people from public spaces like that.
Interesting question. Well,
I understand private property rights. If you're a private property owner and you wish to have your, you know, hey, I'm not going to visit your business, but if that's what you want to do and you post signs and now, mind you, signs don't carry the weight of law in Florida.
Right.
But if you post signs and you instruct your employees to tell every person that steps on your property, we don't want you to carry. Please, if you have a firearm, secure it in your vehicle. You know, that is your right. You as a private property owner. Now, Disney as a quasi-government entity, can they do that? I mean, that would be the equivalency of like the city of Miami Beach or the city of Orlando or the city of Tallahassee posting signs in their public park saying you can't carry a firearm. And under Chapter 790 state preemption, that's not allowed under state law. All firearm laws are under the state, not the municipalities.
You know, I didn't even think about that angle, but yeah, you're spot on there, brother. You're absolutely right. So you mentioned a meeting in Orlando recently. What took place out there?
So every quarter, the Republican Party of Florida has their caucus meeting. So, mm-hmm. You know, they have their rules committee and their minority voting committee and all that. And there's always the Second Amendment caucus meeting. So I always try to attend that. And their committee chair, a gentleman by the name of Ben Parrish, he's out of the Seminole County REC, very good guy. He was instrumental in getting Seminole County to pass a constitutional carry resolution for the county level Republican Party. He informed me before the meeting, hey, I can't make it, but my vice chair is going to be there. And I was like, cool. You know, hey, it is what it is. I get it. Life gets in the way sometimes. So I attended the meeting. The vice chair never showed up. Who did show up was an REC committeeman from Citrus County by the name of George Gasparini, I believe. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name.
I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got the meeting. He basically called the meeting to order. And to put a one-hour caucus meeting into a 30-second explanation, he literally said, government doesn't grant, or you're not born with your rights. Government grants you your rights. Florida doesn't need constitutional carry. Florida doesn't need open carry. And then he crowed about how he was covered under the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. And he thinks anyone that carries a firearm needs to go through ridiculous amounts of training. And mind you, I'm former law enforcement, so I think it's horribly wrong that I could carry nationwide while my wife and others can't, simply because they don't have a piece of tin in their wallet.
Right.
And more importantly, no, the government doesn't grant us our rights. That's We're born right. with them.
Did you hand him a copy of the Constitution afterwards and say, here, you might want to brush up on this or what?
Well, to top it all off, he claims he dresses up as George Washington and tours the country and speaks about the Constitution. Yet he claims the government grants us our rights, where if anyone who has studied George Washington, the Founding Fathers, and the Constitution knows full well the entire purpose of the Bill of Rights was to enumerate rights that already existed prior to the drafting of the Constitution.
Exactly. Yes. People think the Bill of Rights, they call them constitutional rights. And I don't like the term, actually. I call them constitutionally recognized rights or constitutionally protected rights. But the rights are pre-existing, just like you said. The government didn't grant them to us. God did. You want to erase my rights, you have to erase God. And good luck with that. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And the issue with this is the guy now. I don't know his full level of authority within the party, but he basically chaired the meeting discussing 2A issues for the Republican Party. And let's just delve into this for a sec. So we have a Republican supermajority in the legislature that has killed constitutional carry multiple times. It's killed campus carry multiple times. It's killed open carry multiple times. Second Amendment sanctuary, NFA nullification, yada, 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 yada. You know, on and on and on. They've killed pro-gun bills.
Yep.
And then you have a guy serving as the mouthpiece of the state Republican Party, literally further cementing, oh, well, we're an anti-gun organization. Government grants you rights, and we don't need constitutional carry, and we don't need open carry. Now, In the defense of the people that were there, about three-fourths of the room erupted in disgust, and some literally just got out of their chairs and left.
When he said that?
Yeah, as he was talking, yeah. So some people literally were just like, nope, we're done with you, man, and walked out. But other people, myself included, you know, we did try to educate him on the matter, but he wouldn't budge. And that was basically going on for an hour.
Wow.
So you have people within the Republican Party that are clearly anti-gun, that they're clearly against the idea of the common citizen exercising their rights fully. You have a Republican legislative leadership that's clearly anti-gun, because, as you know, Wilton Simpson, our current Senate president, is running for Commissioner of Agriculture.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say names, but he was endorsed by another organization. While at the same time, that organization in 2018 called him a betrayer of the Second Amendment, and they're actively suing him.
Yeah.
Or not him, but they're actively suing the state of Florida over the anti-gun laws he wrote and that were passed and signed into law by then Governor Rick Scott.
Oh, yes. I know good and well the organization you're talking about, and I have dropped all affiliation with them, including my instructor credentials. And also including my membership with them. I'll never be a member of their organization again. I could put my money in better places, primarily GOA, Second Amendment Foundation, and the Firearms Policy Coalition. They get my money now. Not somebody who gets there and plays the little games like they do, especially what you were just talking about. They're endorsing him when he was the author of the Parkland bill, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act. It's disgusting to me, the gamesmanship that happens in with that organization. It really does. So, Louis, we're going to take a little break right now. We'll come back in just a couple of minutes, and let's finish this conversation up, or at least that one subject. I'm sure we got plenty of other things to talk about. And we'll be right back with more. Luis Valdez, the Florida director, the Puerto Rican director, and the director of the U.S. Virgin Islands territories of Gun Owners of America. Stick around, and if you don't, I'm going to send Captain Rob and the listener retention squad out to your house and have a word with you, and you don't want that. My buddies out at WJS Guns in Merritt Island, Bill Stasak and Dalton and Troy and the gang out there do a fine job taking care of all their customers, including law enforcement officers who want to buy Blue Label firearms. He's a Blue Label dealer for multiple manufacturers. Also, very female-friendly. They do a great job serving all of their customers. They will get you squared away and well-regulated in your Second Amendment rights. He offers handguns, long guns, a great selection of 1791 gun leather brand holsters. Also, body armor, ammunition, magazines. What are you looking for? Bill's got you covered out there at WJS Guns. Check him out at WJSGuns.com. If you want to do some fishing, he's got you covered with fishing tackle. Bill is a total outdoor store. WJSGuns.com. Check him out there. Do make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Counter-Strike Tactical is the best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR builds by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran, plus go-to weapons brand rifles, AR-15s, AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and more. Anthony also offers laser engraving and Cerakote. So stop in at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or call 321-499-4949 and tell Anthony that Roy sent you.
Huge thanks to my sponsors for keeping this program rolling. And we got Mr. Luis Valdez. He is the director, the Florida director of Gun Owners of America. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, Luis, Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands too, right? U.S. Virgin Islands?
Yes, I am. I'm the state director for Florida, and I'm the director of outreach for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. You got that right.
You are a busy man, brother. I tell you what, I appreciate you. I really do. I know you're a hardworking dude.
I look at it this way. At least if I got to work hard, I'd rather work hard where it's warm and sunny instead of like my counterparts that work up in Maine and New Hampshire.
Amen.
Under snow and ice for 6 months a year. So while they're doing that, at least I get to stay warm.
Yes, sir. I don't blame you there. I live in Florida for a reason, man. That's for sure. Now, we were talking a little bit before the break about Mr. Wilton Simpson and how he's gunning for Little Miss Nikki Fried's job. Little Miss Nikki the Bolshevik, I call her. But she's the head of the Department of Agriculture, the commissioner, I mean. And she is the one who dispenses the at the state's behest, and that's part of her job, the concealed carry permits. And Mr. Wilton Simpson is now gunning for that job. I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons that he is against constitutional carry is because he wants to head up that department. Just something sticking in the back of my mind there. Let me get your thoughts on all of that in just a second. First, Mr. Wilton Simpson, as you stated earlier, he's the author of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act, which is a monstrous piece of gun control, actually what I call anti-rights bill, anti-rights law. It was penned and passed very hastily in the wake of a very brutal crime that took place in a high school in a gun-free zone, which was made possible by a gun control act too. And I guess so because some demented little punk who was not sitting in prison where he should have been at the time shot up a bunch of people, that the rest of the state of Florida had to pay for his crime by sacrificing some of their rights on the altar of political expediency for some reason. And now the guy that authored that bill, he's gunning for that position. He wants to be commissioner of agriculture. And our sheriff's association, Mr. Neinhauser, and sadly, even the sheriff in my county signed on with it and has endorsed Wilton Simpson. I'm kind of stunned by that. But let me get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, Simpson's a piece of work. the thought of him running the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services is terrifying, because he did write the Parkland gun control bill, and it was passed in 16 days, mind you.
Oh,
Introduction to Rick Scott's signature, it only took 16 days. Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Yeah.
In the middle of session. So if their excuses of, oh, we can't pass something is bull, because they did it with that. But the danger of Simpson, especially running the Commissioner of Agriculture, is part of the Parkland gun control bill, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Safety Act, was the red flag laws.
Yep.
So here you're going to have the guy that literally wrote the bill that completely tramples your Fourth Amendment rights and your due process to go after your Second Amendment rights. He's going to run the very agency that has a detailed list of every individual in Florida that is licensed to carry.
Yep.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Yep.
On a civil rights level. I mean, that's literally, and I hate to draw historical parallels and, you know, Goodwin's law of, oh God, he's going to do a Nazi reference. Yeah, I'm doing a Nazi reference.
Yep.
You know, Goodwin's law is in play right now. That is literally like giving the Nazis a list of every Jewish gun owner saying, hey, here you go. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the sheriffs, the Florida Sheriffs Association, they have sadly historically been anti-gun. They've spoken out against open carry. They've spoken out against campus carry.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, they were against concealed carry. And of course, now they're against constitutional carry. I know recently, and by recently, I mean within the last 5 years or so, they did a secret internal poll where only 11 sheriffs supported constitutional carry or open carry out of all 67 counties of Florida.
Wow.
And the current guy that's incoming to run the FSA, I can never pronounce his name right, out of Hernando County, Ninehausen,
whatever his name is.
He has recently flat out stated to the media he's against open carry, which means, of course, he'll be against constitutional carry nine out of 10 times if he's against open carry. And the fact that 59 sheriffs endorsed Wilton Simpson, I view that to be a very, very bad call on their end. I don't know if this was something pushed on them by the FSA itself or if these were individual endorsements. But if this was the work of the FSA, I could kind of see how this was done. I don't agree with it, but I could see how it was done. You know, this is the main lobbying organization for the sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have some smaller county sheriffs that they don't have a lot of pull and sway in the legislature and they want to increase their budget or their manpower or their training or whatever, you know, they got to work with the tools that they got, and the FSA is that.
Right.
But the FSA as a whole has traditionally been anti-Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And if your sheriff in Brevard County, Sheriff Ivey, I know he endorsed Wilton Simpson, and that kind of hurts me. That sends a pang in my heart of pain, because it's like,
me too.
I've always looked at Sheriff Ivey as a true Second Amendment supporter.
Yeah.
If I recall, he was at a Second Amendment Sanctuary conference put on by Bob White and the Republican Liberty Caucus a couple of years back.
Well, that was a Second Amendment conference. Actually, I was on the panel with Anthony Sabatini and Bob White and Sheriff Ivey on the platform on that one.
So, and if I remember, he spoke very passionately about the Second Amendment, right?
Yes. And matter of fact, he's even got the Second Amendment tattooed on his left forearm.
So I really, really hope that Sheriff Ivey just kind of got duped into endorsing Simpson, and it wasn't that he actually believed Simpson is a Second Amendment supporter.
I'm hoping so, too. I really am. So,
and in terms of Simpson himself, look, his actions speak louder than words. He could have all the endorsements from here to Timbuktu.
That's right.
He could have the Florida Sheriff's Association. He could have the Farm Bureau and all these different orgs that have endorsed him. In the end, his actions speak louder than words, especially on the Second Amendment and on other issues. I mean, just this session alone, if I recall, I believe Simpson killed an anti-union bill that Governor DeSantis was very supportive of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an issue to the point that I think Governor DeSantis spent $75,000 to specifically advertise in Simpson's home district that, hey, this is the guy that killed the anti-union bill in Florida.
Wow.
So I know the governor and Simpson don't see eye to eye. Now, you know, publicly they might be smiling together, but I know behind closed doors, there's definitely some feathers that have been ruffled between the two of them.
Well, and what really chafes me, and it seems this elitist attitude is very prevalent amongst the uppers in the Sheriff's Association of Florida and in many other, you know, all throughout the country. Alabama recently, some of their top cops were coming out against constitutional carry. And some of the idiotic things that came out of their mouths was like, are you kidding me? And it's almost like they held the citizenry in contempt and felt that they weren't capable or trustworthy to freely exercise the rights they were born with. And it took me back to a quote by Machiavelli, you know, centuries ago, where he said, an unarmed man is not only defenseless, he is contemptible. And what that means, of course, is men who are armed view men who are unarmed as contemptible or beneath them or worthy of their contempt. And that's what I'm seeing, not just in the anti-gun states, what I call the communist-occupied territories of America, even in so-called gunshine states in Alabama and places like that. These guys actually look down on us and think, well, no, I don't want you carrying on the campus. Well, why not? We're not worthy of defense. We're supposed to call you and have you be there in about 7 minutes, but it takes about 2 seconds to kill us. Why don't you want us carrying on campus? Why don't you want us carrying constitutionally? Why is it that you feel a permit makes us safer, makes us more responsible somehow?
It's control. I mean, going back to the Republican Party meeting in Orlando, the gentleman that chaired it, He's a retired Jersey State cop, and now he's a special reserve deputy with one of the sheriff's office here in Florida.
Oh, as soon as you said New Jersey State cop, that told me a lot right there.
And he had this, you know, this holier than thou, I'm more elitist than you attitude. And I was like, guess what, Buckaroo? It don't matter what piece of tin you carry in your wallet. You're no different than the people.
That's right.
The people vest you with that authority.
Right.
You're not knighted. It's not a higher power. It's the people lending you that authority. When you raise your right hand, you take that oath as a law enforcement officer. And I know because I've done it.
Right.
The people, the community you serve are vesting you with the authority to serve them.
Right.
The people don't serve government. Government serves the people.
Yes. Unlike our rights, you know, that come from God and not government. Government gets its power from us. Not vice versa. They got it backwards.
Very much so. And the governor, I think he eloquently put it during the State of the State address back in January of this year. He basically said, any lawmaker that doesn't stand before the Second Amendment and doesn't advance the Second Amendment is not worthy of considering themselves to be pro-freedom. You know, I don't have his quote directly. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's basically, you know, that's the gist of it. And then at the end of this session, after session, as the governor was getting ready to call the special session that we're going to have at the, on April, starting April 19th, he basically said, hey, look, I'm angry at the legislature. They didn't pass, the redistricting maps the way that it should have been done. They didn't pass data privacy protections. They didn't pass, insurance reform. And on top of that, he said they didn't pass constitutional carry. Now, and then he goes, I'm going to call a special session. And right now I'm calling it for redistricting. And I would hope that the legislature pulls their heads out of their butts and passes this without me having to make it an issue. But as we get closer to special session, if I have to expand the scope of it, I will. That's, you know, that's basically what he said.
Good.
Too. So April 19th is when the special session starts.
Okay.
And right now through Gun Owners of America, we're doing an action alert and an email campaign to the governor doing two things. One, telling him that, hey, as Florida's gun owners, we back him. And two, we want constitutional carry to be specifically listed in the proclamation for the special legislative session.
Good.
Because, as you said, Georgia is now the 25th state. Nebraska is possibly going to be the 26th state because, and their legislature is weird. They don't have two chambers. They only have one. So it doesn't have to go through a House or Senate. It just has to go through committees.
Right.
But apparently it's sailing through their committees and it's advancing. And, you know, it looks like it's that they're going to be the 26th state. Now, it would be poetically weird if they get it, they become the 26th state, and Florida then gets constitutional carry as the 27th state. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't we the 27th state in the union?
You know, I don't remember. I'd love to speak authoritatively on that, but I don't remember what number we were, to tell you the truth.
I don't remember if we were the 21st or we were the 27th.
Huh. I'm going to look that up. Now you got my brain peaked here. I'll tell you what, Lewis, I'm going to look that up, matter of fact, while we take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll go ahead and figure that out. How about that? Will that work?
Works for me.
Okay, brother, stand by. We'll be back with more Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America right after these brief commercial messages. Stand by.
I'm Stephen Shoemaker, and I serve as a Sergeant E5 in the United States Marine Corps. Throughout the Corps' rich history, the rifle has been the go-to weapon of choice for all Marines. As we defended ourselves, our brothers, and our country. I am proud to be part of Go-To Weapons and to have a hand in building high-quality rifles and pistols on the AR platform. Weapons that I would confidently carry into any area of operations as my go-to. We built rifles for both the military and the civilian market. We know quality. We build quality. We are quality. Go-To Weapons. Check us out at go2weapons.com. Simplify.
Shootingclasses.com. If you are a firearms instructor, that's the only logical place to run your firearms business from. Shootingclasses.com. You can set up your page there, set up your profile, set up your classes, take payments there. Your certificates are auto-generated. Rosters are auto-generated, and also sends emails out to your students before the class, reminding them at least a week or two out they have a class coming up. And I can't find any other platform out there where it makes sense to run your business from if you're a firearms instructor. Everything's right there. Even if you want to print your financial reports come tax time, it's all right there at shootingclasses.com. If you're a student, set up an account out there and you get matched up with some serious, serious firearms instructors. Men like David Boone Benton, Israel Matos, Chris Tonto Ferranto, and guys like that. Bill Orndorff, Bruce Corey. Those are the guys that actually founded shootingclasses.com. It is, I'll tell you what, it's genius. And it simply doesn't make sense to try to run your business from any other platform. Shootingclasses.com. Yes, back with more Luis Valdez of Gun Owners of America. And I just want to say huge thank yous again to the sponsors of this program, especially this episode, WJS Guns, ShootingClasses.com, Go-To Weapons, you can check them out at GoToWeapons.com, and Counter-Strike Tactical. Great people. I hope you don't fast forward through the commercials now. If you do, it's going to give you a demerit from Captain Rob and the Listener Retention Squad, and you don't want to get piled up with demerits on him. He'll come knock on your door. You know that squad's actually fictitious, right? I'm just kidding. But yeah, they're great people. They got they do a great work. Every one of the gun stores and retailers that sponsor this program, you don't have to live in this county or in this state to purchase weapons from them. If you want to order a gun from WJS Guns or from Counter-Strike Tactical or any of the other sponsors of this program, you can do that over the phone. They'll take your credit card and they'll ship the gun to your dealer in your state. So you're not limited by you know, state boundaries necessarily. So make sure you give them a call if you're interested in something. Or, you know what, if you're looking for a particular gun and you can't find it, call one of my sponsors. You might be surprised at how easily they can find one or may even have it in stock. And now back to my special honored guest. You've heard him many times on this program, and you will hear him yet again, I assure you that. He's going to be a frequent guest on the program, Mr. Luis Valdez, State Director in Florida of Gun Owners of America. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and put a plug in here, Luis, for Gun Owners of America Alerts. I've talked about them before. I will tell you right now, I said this before just a couple of episodes ago when Mr. Eric Pratt was on the program, that GOA makes it very easy for you to be in the fight and to make your voice heard in not just your state legislature, also in the federal government. And when they send you an alert, there's a little red button in the email that says take action, or it'll say something else. But you click on that, and they've got something already typed up, and you can either just go with what they typed, or you can embellish it a little bit. Be polite. Don't use profanity and vulgarities and things like that, even though it's probably very tempting. And it goes light speed to your representatives. Now, I will say this, one thing for sure, Luis, every time I send one of these off, I get the same canned response from Marco Rubio. I mean, word for word, identical every time. But I will say that with my Florida, my state legislators, they get back to me regularly and say, thank you for your, you know, correspondence, and I'm taking things into consideration. And I tell you what, it does work. So join GOA. Forget about some of the other ones that have been so prominent all these years. They really are, they'll compromise your rights away. GOA is the pit bulls up there on Capitol Hill and in your state legislatures. And I'm really happy that we have Mr. Luis Valdez here in the state of Florida. I'm going to come up with a good nickname for you, Luis, because you are a pit bull yourself, buddy. When you latch on, you don't let go. And that's why I've told many people when and not if we begin to carry constitutionally in the state of Florida. The state of Florida is going to owe you a big debt of gratitude, brother, and I do mean that.
The state of Florida is not going to owe me a debt of gratitude. I owe the state of Florida a debt of gratitude because I truly mean this, and I say it with sincerity. Our national motto is E Pluribus Unum, and that translates to out of many one.
Yes.
I'm just one guy. I can't do what I do without the good folks that make GOA and that are gun owners as a whole. And and those folks also include your listeners. And even if you guys are outside of Florida, you guys could help Florida attain constitutional carry. Mm-hmm. It's real simple. All you got to do is call 850-717-9337. That is the phone number to Governor Ron DeSantis's office. And as an out-of-state individual, you actually have power, because remember, you know, the constant excuse that I always hear is, oh, tourism will hurt. You're tourists. Call the state and tell the governor, hey, if you pass constitutional carry, I'll visit Florida more often.
There you go. Perfect. All right. Well, that's a good point. I never thought of it like that. But yes, and me too. You know, that's a very good point, Luis. I would never visit New Jersey. I would never visit New York. I had to drive through Chicago one time, and I didn't care what their laws were. I had a firearm in the vehicle very close by.
And did you go visit Al Bundy's shoe store and see him complete four touchdowns at Polk High?
No, I did not. We were just passing through there on the way up to Hammond in Indiana to visit some people up there. But no, I don't. Not a big fan of Chicago or any of those other communist occupied territories. The reason being, they don't support my right to keep and bear arms and to defend myself in their sorry, you know, state or city. And they're the ones that have the worst crime rates when everybody's disarmed. I'm not going to get into that little sidebar there, but yeah, what you said, hey, let the governor know, hey, we'll visit your state more often now that we know people are carrying guns around us, and maybe we could carry too. So I think it'd be a good thing.
Again, that phone number is 850-717-9337. That's the direct line to Governor DeSantis' office. Call, leave messages. If his staff picks up, let him know. Tell him specifically you want constitutional carry passed in Florida and you want it passed in this special session. You want it to be added via proclamation to this special session. And for folks that are more computer savvy, you could go to gunowners.org. You could look for the latest state alert for Florida, and we will have our action alert there. Now, that action alert only works for Florida residents, though. And I actually sent you, Royce, the direct link to that action alert. So if you want to blast it on social media, by all means, please.
I definitely will. And another thing, on each page, each episode page of this podcast, Luis, I can add links and things there. So I'm going to put it there also. And so people can go to this episode and find the link to go there and take action. So that's a good thing. Now, you, excuse me, in the wake of this special session being called for on the 19th, there's something that might be happening on the 20th. Let's talk about that in the last few minutes we got here, brother.
Yeah, so we don't have anything confirmed yet, but there might be a pro-constitutional carry rally being organized for April 20th at the Capitol on the second day of the special session. Again, I don't have it confirmed yet, but I'm talking to a couple of folks behind the scenes, and we're trying to get it up and running. And as soon as I could get something confirmed and concrete, I will let you know. And another bit of news, I have a confidential source, a lawmaker in the legislature, and I asked him specifically, hey, what's the scuttlebutt going on with constitutional carry right now for special session? And he told me that Wilton Simpson and Chris Sprawls are basically trying to avoid it every way, shape, and form. They don't want to bring it up. So, again, we have a Republican majority refusing to bring it up. That's why it's crucial that Governor DeSantis specifically proclaims that the special session is about constitutional carry also, not just the redistricting.
I'll be contacting him myself for sure. And do you think possibly, since we were talking earlier about Disney money going into the pockets of some of these Republicans, could it be that Mr. Simpson and Mr. Sprouls are getting some of that mouse money and maybe it's influencing their decisions, or am I just barking up the wrong tree?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, there is a very long list of Disney lobbyists. Just looking at the list, I mean, it's easily over 20, possibly 30 people long.
Wow.
That are registered lobbyists in Florida that work in one form or another for Walt Disney Park and Resorts.
Wow. Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all, then, if that's the case. I'm not going to go ahead and speak as if that's an affirmative, but it is something I'm going to look into.
Yeah, and it is posted on the News Journal online that Representative Barnaby and Federhoff joined GOP lawmakers returning contributions to Disney. So you have the news media now independently confirming that you have Republican lawmakers, they're refunding Disney for their campaign contribution. So I wouldn't put it past you that Simpson and Sprouls get a very nice paycheck into one of their political action committees from the House of Mouse.
Yeah, because money, my grandma used to say something. She would tell me, if it doesn't make sense, there's a dollar in it for somebody. And I have found that to be pretty consistently true throughout my entire life. And I just can't help but think that's the case. A lot of these guys get up there, they get corrupted by the money, and pretty soon it's all about the money, the money, the money, and not the Constitution, not the people, not any of those things. It's all about them and their ambition and their pocketbook, and that's why we've got so many of the messes we've got in state legislatures and on Capitol Hill. But I don't want to run that rabbit trail right now. Anything you want to leave us? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, very much so. And, you know, look, I ain't going to lie. I draw a paycheck from GOA. They're who puts the bread on my table and the roof over my head. But when GOA brought me on board, I flat out told them my goal is to work my way out of a job. I don't want to keep kicking the can down the road and like, oh, well, we'll get constitutional carry next year. We'll repeal red flags. No, I want to do it now. Yeah. And if that leaves me without a job next year, then you know what? I'll walk away with a smile on my face knowing, hey, I was able to do something. I was able to help achieve something better for my kids and my grandkids.
Yes, sir.
That's what it comes down to. We need to plant that seed of liberty so it sprouts and grows, so our future generations will live in a freer society than what we have.
Yeah, amen to that.
And that's what it comes down to.
Amen to that. And you know what? A lot of people may not know this about you, Luis, about your background, your family's background. You're not just speaking from a lofty sense of sentiment here. There's a firm reason that you speak the way you do. Reacquaint many of my audience members who may not know your family's background as to why you feel the way you do.
My family fled communist Cuba in 1961. My uncle Mario specifically, he was part of the Bay of Pigs invasion, trying to retake the island and overthrow the communist government. I had family that were in prison. I've had family that died of starvation. I have had family that were executed by the communist regime. And worse, I will never forget, I was about 7 years old, and I had a granduncle come over from Cuba in the early 90s. Right after the Cold War ended and Cuba went into what they called the special period, basically meaning their paychecks from the USSR ended and they really hit a economic slump.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he came over and I asked him, I'm like, why don't you stay in the US? And he said, well, I could only visit for a short period of time and I have to go back because if not, your aunt will be imprisoned. They're holding her hostage.
Wow. People don't understand that's what they do. Russia, all communist countries have done exactly that. Yeah, you can leave, but if you don't come back, neither will your family. That's what they do. When they say,
I still remember that. I still remember my grandparents talking to me about it. I remember my Uncle Mario talking to me about it. I mean, and on top of that, just being part of the Cuban American diaspora, I'm the first of my family born here, but talking to other people in Miami, talking to recent arrivals from Venezuela, talking to people that fled South Vietnam after the Vietnam War, talking to people that fled Korea, you know, and the Eastern Bloc, it's a similar story, even though all across the globe, there's one unifying thing, whether they fled a fascist regime or a communist regime or a totalitarian dictatorship. It was an authoritarian regime that literally that crushed their individual rights up to and including restricting them the ability to own and carry firearms.
Yep.
Because the first thing Fidel Castro did when he gained power was he stood before the people and he said, Armas por qué? Guns why? Meaning,
right,
you don't need guns. You could turn them all in. We'll protect you. We'll keep you safe. And how has that gone on since 1959?
Yep.
Last I checked, I don't see people fleeing Florida on rafts going to the promised land that is socialist Cuba. Mm-hmm. I see people fleeing Cuba coming to the promised land that is Florida.
Yes, absolutely. And even recently, you talked about the Cuban government offered another amnesty for people that had guns. If they would go ahead and turn them in, nothing would happen. And what was the result of that?
The Black Berets, the nickname for the secret police down there, afterwards went around and literally snatched people in the middle of the night and threw them in prisons or unmarked graves.
Wow. Just because they owned firearms.
Because they owned firearms, because they spoke out against the government, because they were willing to protest against the government. For folks that don't know, last summer, the people rose up violently, might I add, against the communist regime. And all they had were stones and sticks and harsh words. And they were ultimately crushed because the government mowed them down with high pressure hoses. They fired into the crowd. They drove into the crowd. And on top of that, the secret police would snatch up prominent members of the family. So, you know, they would go after the patriarch, they would go after the father, they would go after the grandparents, they'd go after the mother, they would go after the kids. And it was literally, if you don't behave, this loved one of yours is going to end up with a bullet in the back of their head and thrown into an unmarked grave in a ditch somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And people think that cannot happen here in the United States of America. And I tell them, you are a fool if you think that that could not happen. It can happen anywhere, in any country. Every country that has ever happened in, the people thought, they said afterward, I didn't think it would happen here. Well, you never trust your government. The founders taught us that. Everything in the Constitution is basically against the government. It's a constitutional restraining order. And the entire thing is predicated on not trusting your government, because the sad fact of the matter is when people get into power, it corrupts them and they start thinking themselves above the people. And even with the Caesars in Rome, many of them were afflicted with a divinity complex, much like I think Barack Obama was afflicted and still is afflicted with. But people don't understand the insidious corruption of power and what it does to the soul of people up there. And if you wonder why they're not listening to us, because they feel they don't have to. On the same level as Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. What are they bothering us for? You know, so the people don't understand just how they view us. And that's the catalyst for many of their decisions, unfortunately. So leave us with the final word here, Luis.
Folks, again, go to gunowners.org. If you want to join, it's simple. It's $25 a year. Go to gunowners.org. Look for the latest action alert for Florida or for your state. Because, again, we're not just a national organization. We're on the state and local level. So whether you're in Florida or not, we keep pressing the issue, and we will keep you up to date. And if you are outside of Florida and you want to help get Florida to pass constitutional carry, again, call Governor DeSantis, 850-717-9337, and tell him simply you want constitutional carry as part of the special session. And if Florida passes it, as a tourist, you will visit and spend more money here.
Well, fantastic, man. And yeah, because when they feel the heat, they'll see the light. That's for sure. Luis, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on, brother. And I look forward to the next time. I really do. Happy to hear you're going to be moving pretty close to where I'm at, probably within about 25, 30 miles. So we'll be having a burger or two together, I'm sure, and talking issues, and look forward to that, buddy.
Oh, definitely. We'll have a burger, and we'll definitely be shooting some good old-fashioned revolvers, too.
Yeah. You are a revolver dude, aren't you?
Just got the new Python in, and it's sweet.
Oh, yeah. I love that old Python, man. Well, good. I'm looking forward to that, man. We got to do some shooting, and you have carte blanche invitation to any of my training classes and stuff. It's on me. Just consider it one of the perks of your position with GOA. How about that?
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor and a pleasure, and every class I go to, I always learn something new, and most of the time it's, man, I'm horribly out of shape.
Yeah, man, that's the truth. All right, brother. Well, you take care. God bless you and your family. Until we have you back on again, I'm going to let you go rest now. I know you are an exhausted man, so we'll catch you next time, brother.
God bless, and thank you for having me on again.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Huge thanks to Mr. Luis Valdez. I'm glad many of you got to hear the background of his family and why he's so passionate about freedom and fighting for your rights as well as his own and his family's. So I will catch you on the next edition of the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. Until then, keep your powder dry, keep your gun loaded, keep your head on a swivel, and never forget that incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn it on.